Today's podcast is a follow-on podcast on AI, which discusses the current and forecasted future of AI technology, as well as broad and defense-specific use of AI. This podcast is geared towards important steps to include opportunities and challenges that industry should consider as it moves forward with the creation, adoption, and adaption of AI for themselves and for sales.
Hello. This podcast is the second in a series talking about artificial intelligence. The first part discussed the general consensus and input from the Commission on Artificial Intelligence. This second part talks specifically to things that industry can do to contribute to its own bottom line in profitability, but also to the general economic stability of the nation and the opportunity space where the Commission found that we could leverage to ensure our global position in AI for the future. The United States can't pursue leadership in artificial intelligence as an end unto itself, but rather as a broader strategy that promotes the United States' competitiveness in these key technologies. China has made its intentions clear to become a world leader in key technologies through the Made in China 2025 and associated initiatives, but the U.S. has not yet identified the technologies central to its national competitiveness, let alone prioritized leadership in them. It's just starting to. As I mentioned in the first podcast, a lot of the National Security Council's commission recommendations have been taken to heart by Congress and are being implemented. And it's very important because without it, the result is disparate funding and policy approaches to technology protection and promotion across the United States government and a lackluster coordination with the private sector. So today is talking about what the private sector can do. The commission recommended that the president issue an executive order designating a list of key technologies and where our leadership as a country would be essential to its overall competitiveness and develop a national technology strategy. I went into that in the first part. So let me give you an idea of what they are. These key technologies in the first tranche were microelectronics, biotechnology, quantum computing, 5G and beyond, robotics, advanced manufacturing, and energy systems. Each of these key technologies that I mentioned are interwoven and can't be done in isolation. So the United States and, frankly, the private sector have to take a look at this from a comprehensive approach to ensure emerging technologies are put forward with artificial intelligence at the forefront. I think when you look at yourself as an entity and you're thinking about where you can contribute and how you contribute, you really have to go back to those principles that I talked about in the first of the part series, which is, what talent do you have? What hardware do you have or can have? How do you leverage those into a future and essentially build out your capability and as you create that revenue stream? So talent is broad, and I think we don't need to rehash what we talked about at the first podcast in this two-part series, but I would encourage you to think about creating these talent pipelines for your company at a much broader context than the traditional go to a university, you go to a high school. Think about how you yourselves can help train on the job. So productivity is at the start. So things that we've seen in certain successful industry partners are based along that process of start and create wealth at the same time. Bring in talent, bring in opportunity, bring in productivity. Hardware and how you differentiate yourself in terms of bringing artificial intelligence to hardware is going to require you to think about the tools that you need to have and how you would protect your intellectual property. It was a large contested discussion back when I was in the Department of Defense during the Obama administration and continued into the Trump administration, and it's still being discussed now. But the commission, predominantly composed of technocrats and leadership positions in our companies, stated that as a consensus that a key element in underpinning U.S. game-changing's breakthrough in science and technology has been the use of our intellectual property regime. So we really need to protect it. As we've all talked about, and you've heard, I'm sure, China and others do not have a moral underpinning or an ethical underpinning that prevents them from consuming and repeating and using our intellectual property. And so we need to think about, how do we protect that? What do we do to ensure that our IP is elevated to a national priority? And that means at local levels in industry, we need to have industry thinking about how they protect and expand innovation in the areas that we talked about, so that in the future, our position in our wealth that we put at risk to create that intellectual property is protected. Responsible use of artificial intelligence is obviously, and I've heard it from many of my clients, a very important part of industry's dialogue right now. How do you create an ethics policy on the adoption and adaption of artificial intelligence? Highly recommend you read the study that the commission put out as a report and see the recommendations in there. It's very important that AI systems work as designed and are predictable. If not, we know as a society we won't use it. So we have to think about how we protect the privacy, the civil liberties, build against biases, commit to what biases we will take, make it clear that we understand and are publicly transparent about how we use AI. Those things that we are, as a nation, considering our value system through the decades of its existence, need to be preserved, and it can be done. We can always ensure anti-tamper things are built into our system so that they work as designed and somebody can't change how it was intended in its use. So as you're, as a company, looking at your future, you should take a look at, what do you want to have as policies? How are you going to educate? How are you going to bring aboard the talent? Where do you differentiate what you build as product compared to others? Much can be done. I'm going to think about how, as industry member, my contributions should be recognized. And so as you're thinking about the technology areas that you want to build towards, whether they're the microelectronics or the robotics or the biotech or the energy systems, all of those areas that you're thinking about should be founded in your internal dialogue of how you're going to build out with your CSO or your CTO that infrastructure in a manner in which you can share with your organic workforce and external customers. So I think when we look at our future as a consumer, the things that obviously are going to be important to us are the policies, the standards, if you would. They shouldn't be constraining for innovation. They should be outlining or giving a framework, the ability to create tools that allow for transparency, taking the real approach beyond model-based systems engineering and into digital engineering and all of the different ramifications that artificial intelligence takes, software in the loop and hardware in the loop testing into the next generation of capability, because we do have machine speed processing capability now with quantum computing, et cetera. So we should think about what it would take to build that path, to start small and build big with a pathway in front of you that you can work with your corporate boards if you're publicly, or with your senior leadership if you're private, to ensure that you think through what it's going to take to deliver product with confidence and with the tools in place and that transparency, so that as we create our future, we've protected those values as a nation and built out with collaborations with partner nations, that supply chain and that infrastructure that delivers useful products in our image and protects against the influx and the creation of products that don't carry those values with it. So I think as you're working towards the future and as you're thinking about what those tools are that you will need, you will see there's a lot of hungry, small, innovative companies that are partnering with large and medium-sized industry to deliver, where competency and differentiation creates that value proposition. And they're doing it in terms of policies that they can stand behind and their employees value and stand behind as well. I hope this has been helpful. I repeat, as I did in my first podcast, how important it is to take a chance and read the commission's work and others' work so it helps frame what you're doing. This is the future. Artificial intelligence is ubiquitous. And everywhere you will go in the future, like electricity of the past, you will find a modicum of it. It is going to be a bright future if we engage the right way and use it to our advantage and the form that we want it. Take that leadership role. Thank you so much. And hopefully, if you have any questions, please come to Cypress. We've got a great team and we can help.